I'm Meg Dahl, your Unbreakable host. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to a brand new episode of the Unbreakable You podcast. I'm so happy to have you join me again this week. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome. I am really honored to have you here. So, as most of you know, I've been traveling, but today I am making my way back to Canada. So for those of you who don't know, I do live in Canada, but for the past 11 days, I have been in California and Salt Lake City, Utah, and just having a blast. So I did have to pre-record these episodes and these intros, but next week it'll be back to, you know, regular recording time and whatnot, so I can give you all of the updates on what happened during my travels, okay? So I think that sounds great. Before today's episode begins, I do just want to give you one last reminder about the September Soup Challenge. So if you're not familiar with the challenge, this year I partnered up with Oh So Good Bones, which is my absolute favorite bone broth company. And so I've partnered up with them and I am giving you a chance to win a box, a huge box of my favorite bone broth. So the reason why I created this challenge is to encourage you to drink or eat more bone broth. Bone broth is so great for so many reasons, so many health-related benefits of bone broth, but one of my favorites is the gut-brain connection. So as you likely know, I am a huge mental health advocate as an eating disorder survivor, prioritizing proper brain function and optimal mental health is something I'm really passionate about. And when it does come to the brain and mental health, we really have to focus on the health of our gut as well. And that's really when bone broth should be a key piece to your diet. So when we consume bone broth on a regular basis, our gut gets all of those benefits. And in turn, we will definitely have better brain and mental health. So that's kind of a long-winded version as to why I started the September Soup Challenge, but also it's that time of year. We start craving soup, and soup is so comforting. It like totally nourishes the soul. So I launched the September Soup Challenge, and there's still time for you to enter the giveaway. So how to do that? All you need to do is eat some soup, take some pictures of your soup, post it on Instagram and tag me, Meg the RHN, but also be sure to use our hashtag SeptSoupChallenge, because then I will be able to see your posts, and every single post that you share on Instagram and use the SeptSoupChallenge hashtag, every single time you do that is one entry for the giveaway. And then on October 1st, I will be announcing the winner and you'll get some bone broth in the mail. So that's super fun. So that's just another reminder. And every single Monday, I've been sharing soup recipes on my blog, megtherhn.com/blog. You can go to and check out my recipes, or megtherhn.com/recipes. Either or will get you to where you need to be, and you can see all of my soup recipes there. Make some soup. It doesn't have to be one of my recipes, but I have created some really delicious recipes for you this month that can, like, you know, keep things fun in the kitchen. So anyways, that is just a quick reminder of the September Soup Challenge. And now let's talk about today's guest is a good friend of mine, Jess Kristen. She lives in Colorado, and I actually haven't met Jess in real life before, but it feels like I have. It's kind of like one of those relationships where I always have to double check myself that I haven't actually met her in real life, because it feels like I have. Anyways, Jess has an amazing health story, and she really wanted to share it with you guys because so much of her health issues, including amenorrhea, could have been avoided if she just simply listened to her body. And that's really one of the main messages she's trying to get across in today's episode is, you know, we just really have to listen to our bodies. They are so, so wise, because often they are screaming at us and we're still not listening to them. And then we just keep developing more and more and more health issues or imbalances, right? So Jess is sharing her story with us today. I love this episode, and she offers so many great insights and tools. So I can't wait for you guys to listen. Let's get to it. Hey, Jess. Welcome to the show. I am seriously so excited to have you here with me.
I am super excited to be here, Meg. Thank you so much for having me on. Obviously we've known each other for a while now. I've been following you and listening to the podcast, and it's truly, truly an honor to be on the show. I'm stoked.
Well, this is going to be tons of fun, because I always love having, like, you know, real friends, even though you and I actually haven't met in real life before. I consider you a real friend of mine, and it's always fun to have friends on the show with me. And you just have an incredible story, Jess. And I know right before I hit record, you started saying all of these things that were so juicy. And I was like, okay, just stop talking because we'll just get into it in the show. And it'll be that much better if I am asking you things for the first time. Yeah. So why don't you give everyone just a little hello, a little intro to who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jess Kristen. I'm originally from Boston. I moved to Denver about 3 years ago. So I've been out in Denver for 3 years. Love it, love it, love it here. And I created my business. It's called Jess Pure Living. And pretty much the intention behind my business is sort of what we're going to do here today is sharing my story. And my goal is to honestly just help other people not have to go through what I went through. So, you know, just what I've been through could have been avoided so easily. So I just love being able to share kind of the challenges that I've faced. And if it will help one other person not have to go through that, that is really my ultimate goal. Right now I do work full-time in sales, but I'm leaving my job at the end of September to pursue Pure Living full-time and just go all in. And I'm super excited.
That's so exciting. Honestly, sweetheart, I am super excited for you. And just to, you know, welcome another holistic nutritionist into the field, it's super exciting. So definitely. I like what you said, you know, your history and all that you've gone through, it would have been so easily avoided. And I think that will ring true for a lot of people as they hear us get deeper into this conversation. So why don't you start sharing a little bit about that story of yours that you have that truly so many women will be able to relate to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll try not to go off on like a tangent. So if I do, just steer me back in. But honestly, I think it really goes back as far as, you know, middle school, high school. I can just always remember comparing myself to other people, just like not feeling like I was good enough, you know, specifically around body image. going into college, I really didn't know who I was. And I remember trying those like ephedrine pills before going to the gym and these like, you know, 3-day fasting shakes to lose weight with other, you know, other girls that I met. You know, meanwhile, I'm drinking my body weight in beer, so it doesn't really balance out. But so from a, you know, long time, I can just remember having that body image issue and just trying, looking for the answers wherever I could find them, you know, and thinking that was going to solve it. When I graduated from college, my main goal was to lose the weight that I gained in college. So initially I started doing Weight Watchers and eating low calorie and low sugar and, you know, pouring Splenda into my coffee and just had this totally backwards idea of, you know, what health was and how I was going to attain that. Around the same time, I started getting really into running. And so I did start to learn a little bit more just about nutrition, how to fuel my body. So I changed my eating habits into what I thought was quote unquote healthy at the time, which incorporated a lot of, you know, whole wheat grains and, you know, a lot of oatmeal. And I didn't eat red meat. I only ate like chicken and fish. Meanwhile, I started training for running and I got pretty addicted to it to the point where I was doing probably 5 or 6 half marathons a year and other races in between and running 4 to 5 days a week. During that time, I started to develop this relationship with, okay, if I don't run X amount of miles, I can't eat X food. Kind of an unhealthy relationship with food. But at the same time, people in my life were saying, Jess, you look amazing. You know, what are you doing? And I was getting all these compliments, which is sort of, you know, just like adding fuel to the fire. So that went on for a while. To make kind of a long story short, I was teaching at the time. I had my master's in special ed and I decided to do the Institute for Integrative Nutrition to get my health coach certification because I truly did, even though at the time I was a little miseducated in terms of what I knew now, I truly did love learning about the body and learning about, you know, how to appropriately fuel your body. So I did that program. And then shortly after that, I actually left teaching and was hired at a holistic nutrition practice. And she taught me more about hormones and blood sugar and micronutrients and macronutrients, more of like a quote unquote paleo approach, if you will. So at that time, I did start adopting to that and changing kind of what I was eating more. I added red meat back into my diet, you know, was eating more healthy fats, just things along those lines. So I did sort of change what I was eating. What I didn't change was the amount of exercise I was doing. So I was still running. I was teaching spin. I was doing hot yoga. I was also getting certified to teach hot yoga. So I've always also just had this very high stress mentality. I'm always trying to do a million and one things. So around that time, I'd started noticing the biggest thing for me was my hair. My hair started falling out and thinning to the point where I was so self-conscious about it. I started having like some sleep issues and just these little signs that something was off. And then I stopped taking birth control, which I'd been on for about 15 years, which I think a lot of other people can relate to. And I also wasn't getting my period. For me though, I had these signs and I kind of just ignored them because I could still fit into my size zero jeans. And I still felt like I looked good and I felt okay. You know, my energy was okay. But again, I just sort of ignored these signs and let it go on. I didn't get my period for almost 2 years. And again, just continued to lead this really high stress lifestyle where I was really overdoing it with the exercise. Fast forward a bit, I ended up leaving that job and decided to move to Denver. So I, you know, again, just lots of stress going on. So I up and left, packed everything, moved to Denver, got a little bit more settled here. And I found a job, the job I'm in now, which I really loved at the time. I started dating someone, things sort of started falling into place. And I will say at this time, I backed off the running a little bit, but I was still super, super active with other things. You know, I tried CrossFit and I tried this and I tried that. So it wasn't really balancing out. I did, however, get my period finally, for about 3 months. And after that, I had another bunch of just life stressors hit. My relationship ended. I was living in a house that was just really toxic with the girls that were in it. So home life and work life became really, really stressful. So I lost my period again. And then this is when I started developing a lot of stomach issues. So bloating, constipation, my sleep was really, really bad. And this just started going on. And the breakup was also really tough. And what I found myself doing after the breakup was, okay, I'm gonna start running more and I'm gonna get into shape and look really good to make myself feel better about the breakup. And it was actually, I was on a run at work, of course, ironically running. And I just in my head was thinking about this pattern that I had. And this is what I would do when I felt out of control. I would go back to finding control through starting to overexercise again and develop this unhealthy relationship with food. And it sort of just dawned on me. And I just said to myself, Jess, like you need to change something. Like something has to change. And so I launched this kind of 30-day, what I called self-love journey, where I was just super intuitive with exercise and food. And I just really tried to hone in on what my body was wanting and needing. And I don't think I ran at all for those 30 days, which was for me insane. I did a lot of yoga and walking. So that was kind of the start of me recognizing that things within me needed to change in order for me to find my health again. Again, long story short, after that, I found out that I had a parasite. So I was dealing with that. and that was causing, again, some of the bloating and the pain. So I went on a protocol for that, was able to get rid of it, felt a little better for a few months, and then again, just started developing the bloating and stomach issues again, and then found out I had 2 bacterial overgrowths. So I went from parasite to bacterial overgrowths. At this point, I'd gained about 20 pounds in 6 months. So, you know, it's funny that was the wake-up call was when I started gaining weight. It was like, oh, okay, now I need to do something, which just makes me sad. You know, I wish I had listened to my body before that and that wasn't my kind of marker as to what health should be. But at the same time, it really woke me up and made me realize that this lifestyle was not going to work. So yeah, this last year and a half has just been a journey of completely revamping everything about myself, the way I work out. You know, I've been doing strength training a few times a week, resting. I also got diagnosed with adrenal fatigue when all this was going on, pretty severe, to the point where I would go for a walk, come home, and not be able to move for the rest of the day. And for me, coming from this background of tying my identity to being a runner and being this really fit, active person, I pretty much lost my identity in this whole process. So yeah, this last year and a half has just been this soul searching journey of finding out who I am that's not that, you know, what else really ties me to who I am and my passions, and recognizing there's so many other amazing things about me aside from being a runner and this quote unquote fit person. So it's been, you know, healing my gut through working with holistic practitioners, supplements, a lot of rest, a lot of listening to my body. I've probably run maybe 5 times in the last 6 months, and trying to be super intuitive. And that's kind of, I got my period back. I forgot to mention that. So I've had my period now for 5 months in a row, which is amazing. So I know that's a huge marker that things are really balancing out. I'm definitely still working on some gut healing, but overall, I just feel like I've been able to find this sort of newfound approach to health. And it's been the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but 100% necessary.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. I feel like I could ask you a million questions right now. Yeah. I have never ran that much in my entire life, that's for sure. The longest I've ever ran is a mile. So go me. So yeah, you are, you know, and like you said, your identity was being a runner. And I think, you know, everyone can relate to this in one way or another. I mean, I personally cannot relate to being a runner, but growing up, I was always referred to as like Little Miss Meg or tiny like feather, little chicken legs, they called me.
Yep, absolutely.
So my identity really was clinging on to being something very small. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, was definitely a big part of my eating disorder struggles. So, you know, I just know that all women can relate to this in one way or another. So why don't we talk a little bit more about that identity? And because obviously, like you said, that's something that you're even still working through right now, moving through that and trying to find the Jess that isn't just a runner.
Yeah, absolutely. That, I mean, by far has been and still is one of the hardest parts. I think also because, you know, like I said, when I was younger, I did always struggle with this identity, and I was always comparing myself to other people, and I wasn't ever all that great at sports in high school. And then in college, I bounced around in all these different friend groups trying to, you know, figure out who I meshed with, and, but really just trying to, you know, act the way I thought I should act and do the things I thought I should do. So for me, you know, as much as I overdid it with the running and I had an unhealthy relationship with it, you know, throughout the years that I ran, it truly was something that I was really good at naturally. So it was really easy for me to tie to that. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I just felt like, okay, I'm really good at this thing. It's making me feel good. It's making me look good. And I do enjoy running. You know, I'm not like a lot of times when I was training, of course, there were days where I'd wake up and I was, of course, forcing myself to go on training runs and things like that. But in general, it was very therapeutic for me. So to have this thing that was, you know, therapeutic and that I loved and, you know, identified to all of a sudden be the thing that was causing so many of my health issues, it was so hard to wrap my head around, you know, like, how is that possible? You know, running's healthy, being active is healthy. So a lot of it was educating myself, you know, really understanding, you know, so many people, I went to so many different doctors and, you know, holistic and not holistic. And the one thing that all of them said was that I wasn't eating enough calories to keep up with my, you know, the amount of exercise I was doing. And in my head, I would get defensive. You don't know what I'm eating. Like, you didn't even ask, you know, I know I'm eating enough. And I would get really defensive about it. But, you know, the more that I, you know, still wasn't getting my period and I continued to deteriorate, I said to myself, okay, clearly there's something here that I'm not connecting. So for me, it was a lot of, you know, digging and researching and learning more about, you know, why cardio and overexercising, what it does to the body and what it does to your hormones and how much it taxes your adrenals. And so for me, that helped, like really learning about why, like the why behind it. And then aside from that, honestly, for me, talking to other people is what helps me. I'm that type of person that I connect with other people and I thrive off of that. So when I did that 30-day self-love journey, I started blogging about how I was feeling, you know, and the thoughts that were going through my mind about myself and my body image. And I'll never forget the first post I did for that 30-day self-love journey was the first time that I ever openly talked about these body image issues that I struggled with. And I had people from all walks of my life, you know, reach out and thank me for sharing. And, oh my God, Jess, I never would have imagined that. In high school, you were like, you were so perfect. And I was like, oh gosh, no. Like, so it was just so mind blowing that, you know, there are just so many people that are dealing with this. And for me, that was so therapeutic. I mean, just to be able to admit it and talk about it, I think people are afraid to do that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big piece for me, was really educating myself on the why and making myself vulnerable and sharing my story and being able to get that support from, you know, not just the people that are close to me, but, you know, other people in my life that were benefiting from hearing my story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I am totally with you on both of those. Educating yourself is so important, whatever it is that you're educating yourself on, but just knowing that why behind mm-hmm. everything and then talking about it, right? In a previous podcast, I was even sharing about how therapy was, you know, hands down, one of the things that helped me recover. So you keep talking about this 30-day self-love challenge. Mm-hmm. And I remember you blogging your way through it and sharing a lot about it. So I would really like you to go into more detail about that, because it is something that you just created on your own, correct?
Yeah.
So let's talk more about that, because obviously everyone tuning in to today's podcast are completely open to learning more about self-love and wanting to implement it more and more within their life. And I don't think that the majority would have actually thought to start their own 30-day self-love challenge. So where did this idea even come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, like I mentioned before, I'd tried all these other things. You know, I stopped running, but then I started doing CrossFit and then I started doing yoga more. And I was going to this doctor and that doctor trying to figure it out. And I was just looking externally for the answers. And I mean, something just clicked that I realized, okay, clearly there's something more going on here and I need to truly like connect with myself and kind of just come to terms with, you know, why this happened and the changes that I need to make in order to, you know, get healthy again. So really it was just this, I've tried everything else and I need to try something different. And, you know, definitely at the time I was, you know, listening to like your and Sean's podcast and surrounding myself with other people that were doing similar things and realizing like, wow. And I think there's also this concept of, oh yeah, I'm doing self-love because I get massages once a month and I take a bath once a week. And it's like, okay, sure. Those things are amazing, but that's different than actually loving and accepting yourself. I mean, there's a difference. And I think that sort of clicked for me too, is I was like, okay, but I'm doing X, Y, and Z, but I wasn't really like trying to connect with my true self and really face kind of some of those demons. So I think that was the driving force for me. And in those 30 days, my goal was to, as much as I can, like let go of the fear of food, you know, just be super intuitive with eating and not overthinking about eating half the bar or, you know, should I eat before I go to the gym or should I not, or eat after or before. And, you know, all these rules, quote unquote, that I'd created for myself. It was just a way for me to try to separate from those and just really tap into that more kind of intuitiveness of what my body was telling me, because clearly I wasn't getting the answers that I needed externally. And, you know, again, I just knew from educating myself that your body's sending you these signals every single day. And most of us just aren't listening.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my drive behind that.
That's amazing. And just going off of what you just said, that's really what you meant before about this all being completely avoidable, right? So can you just share with our listeners more about what you mean by that, about how this could have all been avoided?
Yeah. You know, I just think now about, again, the education that I've gotten for myself. I think most of us don't understand about hormones, especially for females, which is so important. I mean, hormones regulate every function in your body, you know? So when you stop getting your period, I mean, a lot of women, I think, don't realize what a big deal that is. I mean, that is your body telling you that you are not healthy enough to have a baby, you know, and that for whatever, and that just doesn't happen for no reason. That means that you have something that is stressing your body out to the point that you can't do something that we were all like naturally intended to do. So I think for me, I would have so loved to have been educated on, you know, the roles that hormones play in our body and how stress can impact those, whether it's stress coming from over-exercising, the thoughts that we're having in our heads, having a job that you're not happy with, a relationship that you're not happy with, that. And then also the education on food, you know, not being afraid of healthy fats and, you know, proteins and, you know, that was just fear of carbs. And I just think we need to learn how to use food as fuel and have a positive relationship with food and realize how it can heal our bodies rather than have this relationship of, oh, I'm using food to deprive myself or look a certain way or, you know, be a certain size. So it's just this combination, yeah, of education on, I guess, more some of the science behind, you know, like that would be like the hormones and, you know, stress, and then also some of the more self-love piece in terms of the thoughts that we're having and how those impact our body. So had I known a lot of these things and had I, you know, really listened to the signs that my body were telling me years ago when I started losing my hair and stopped getting my period, I think I'd be in a very different place than I am now.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Cool. And so really when your period stopped coming initially, mm-hmm. you weren't really educated back then. So what were your thoughts about that? Like, how did you feel about that overall?
Yeah, it's funny because initially I just thought it was coming off birth control. My body was still kind of, you know, acclimating. But then again, it was almost 2 years without getting it. And it's one of those, like I said, I think in the back of my mind, I knew that that was a really bad thing. But in the time I was so tied up in, okay, but I still look good. So it wasn't a priority for me. And it wasn't until I started deteriorating a little bit more health-wise that I finally realized like, okay, this is serious, you know, and I need to figure this out. So, you know, I think one thing I would love to send to girls, because I know there's so many women dealing with this, is that like, that amenorrhea is a big deal. And just going back on birth control, which is what a lot of doctors told me, and I will say I commend myself for not going that route. You know, I knew that was part of what caused this in the first place, and that's not what I wanted to do. So I did know that I wanted to fix this naturally and get to the root cause. But I just want women to know that, you know, that is a big deal and there are ways to fix it naturally, as long as you're willing to make these changes and really put in the time and the effort and, you know, educate yourself on how to do that. The easy solution would be going back on birth control, which so many people do. So I think just sending that message is just so, so important. And I mean, amenorrhea is one of many things. You know, there's gut health, adrenal fatigue, all these other symptoms. People are exhausted all the time and they think it's normal. So I think just recognizing that you're meant to feel good, like you are meant to feel energized. You're meant to sleep and wake up feeling like you're ready to take on the day. Like this is how we were designed to feel. And most people aren't feeling that way, but they think that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And not to really wait until like your body image or your body weight and size isn't something mm-hmm. that you approve of, right? Like right. for so long, our bodies might be sending us these other signals that something yep. isn't right. But then, like you said about your story, it wasn't until like the weight started coming on that you're like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to start addressing this, right? So yep. just hearing you share your story, Jess, I think a lot of what you've dealt with over, you know, basically your entire life has been so deeply rooted in body image issues. Like you said, I think one of the first words you used to describe your journey at the very beginning was you've dealt with comparison right from mm-hmm. the very start. Have you, because I mean, you're in such a great place now, right? And you've spent an entire year and a half, and I know you're going to continue dedicating mm-hmm. yourself to this inner journey, but I think in order for you to get to the place where you are today, you would have had to do a lot of self-reflection, and I would love to know, like, where did this all stem from for you personally? You know, where was this comparison and body image issue coming from?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that has been a struggle for me because I honestly still am not really sure. You know, to be perfectly honest, I am truly, truly lucky. I grew up in a household with super, super loving parents. They're still together. You know, based on a lot of family issues that you have nowadays, like I feel very lucky about that. I think part of it might've been, when we moved when I was 10 years old. And prior to that, I had been in private schools and I was honestly surrounded by a lot of diversity and sort of image wasn't really a thing. And then at 10, we moved to kind of your small suburban town. I was in the public school system and there was a lot more pressure there, you know, to, you know, everyone played soccer and was really good at soccer and everyone had, you know, the latest trend in clothing. And I'd never tied myself to those things. And then I was kind of in this culture in this small town where that was important to people. And I just remember all I could do was I was just trying to fit in any way that I could. I started playing soccer, even though I hated it. Like, you know, I gave up gymnastics, which I loved, you know, to do that. And I always remember like asking my parents to bring me to the designer clothing stores. And so I think that was a piece of it, was just kind of the environment change at that age. You know, 10 is a pretty tough age. There's a lot going on, a lot of changes going on. So I think that was a hard age to have that happen. Aside from that, I honestly think it was just a lot of society, you know, and that's what we're seeing in society today, in the movies, on Instagram, on social media, like this is how you should look in order, you know, if you're a female, this is the certain body you should have. So I think for me, it was a lot of just the pressures of society in general. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. That's my personality. It always has been. So I think it was just a combination, honestly, of those factors that sort of fed into that. And that's what's created these beliefs that I had. And then as I got older, I just started feeding into these beliefs, you know, with everything that I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, thank you so much for being so open and honest and sharing all of that with us. Because, and the only reason I ask, you know, where you feel as though it was kind of all stemming from mm-hmm. is because in order for us to truly heal, we need to go back to those moments and we need Absolutely. To like touch on those moments and give love to those moments in order mm-hmm. to move past them. So, you know, I'm going through my own healing journey constantly. You're still on this one, obviously. Like, we're always continuing to learn more and more. So I just wanted to ask that because I know there's going to be women listening who are struggling and haven't gone back and really examined where all of this is actually coming from. And I just think it's super interesting that, you know, for you, it started at 10 years old, you know, roughly, that's what you said. And that was when I was first diagnosed with my eating disorder. So it's just really important to highlight how young of an age, like, these deep-rooted beliefs, like, begin, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I know for me that also spilled over into, and I feel like this is a topic that people also aren't as open to talking about, but my romantic relationships, looking back, I think a lot of the relationships I ended up in were, I was using, like, my body and sexuality as, like, my tool to, you know, find relationships and men and dating. And a lot of the relationships I had really fed into being more of like an object, not so much as having those like more emotional connections. And so I think a lot of those relationships also fed into this idea of, oh, I have to have a certain body or look a certain way in order to find a relationship that I can be in or be happy in, mm-hmm. Which was a big thing that I've definitely reflected on. And I have, you know, been in and out of therapy as well to kind of work through that. And yeah, you have to go back to those points and think about, okay, where did this start and work through it and, you know, think about what, why, and where that happened. And yeah, just reflect on those stories, even though they're hard to face. And a lot of times we bury them super, super deep, but I think that's been a huge piece of what I've done the last year and a half is really looked back on that and reflected and realized how much that's not what I want. You know, that's not how I want to feel ever. Mm-hmm. So that's been something I've certainly put a lot of work into.
Amazing. And I just have to say, I love all of that you're sharing with us. Like, you're being so open and honest and vulnerable with us. So thank you so much. So I feel like I want to go back to this past year and a half to get more from you, Jess, because you are just being so sweet and sharing so much with us. It's really appreciated. So like you said, basically for your entire journey, you were looking externally for answers on how to kind of quote unquote fix yourself, right? And I think that's what a lot of us do. But then I wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, you started this self-love challenge, and it's called self-love for a reason because it's like an inside journey, right? Like, you have to love yourself. It's not something that we can go externally for. So yeah. Since this was the point in your life that literally for the first time you were tuning into you, like, that's a big transition. And I know, because I support women in doing this, it's not an easy transition to go from seeking like external validation and answers and opinions to tuning in. So can you share with us what that transition was like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one that I'm still in for sure. You know, I think some of the things that I did that helped me were, first of all, like I said, being open and sharing and connecting with other people. I think surrounding yourself with people that are in that same mentality and are going to support you in that journey is so, so, so important. You know, people like yourself, and finding, you know, even on social media, you know, unfollowing those people that you start comparing yourself to, like, you know, stop getting into that trap and follow people that are doing what you're doing, that are promoting this idea of, you know, loving yourself and, you know, helping with that. I think that really helped me, is following and listening to other people that were doing that, and forming relationships in my own life. Like, many of my close friends in my close circle now, and some of them are people that I've met in the last 2 years, are going through a similar thing, or have gone through a similar thing and are on that same level of, you know, this is what I'm looking for. And so to have, you know, have other people that are doing the same thing and just even just being open to it, you know, was really helpful for me. Another thing that helped me a lot was different books. I'm sure people are familiar with a lot of them, but Jen Sincero, You're a Badass was an amazing one. Abraham Hicks has changed my life. I just love her. She talks a lot about just the law of attraction and manifesting what you want. So, and again, these are all tools, you know, you have to take them for what they're worth, but use them for you. But she, a lot of what she says really resonated with me. So days where I'm really struggling, like I'll be spinning back into these limiting beliefs or having these thoughts that I know are negative, I go on Abraham Hicks YouTube and I'll just search, you know, Abraham Hicks body image, Abraham Hicks want to leave my job. And she has some YouTube talks, and I'll go for a walk and just listen. And that really helps me just kind of tune back in and ground myself and bring myself back. And a lot of it has been literally doing that, you know, talking to myself. You know, we have these self-limiting beliefs, and we've just talked about that have formed since we're 10 years old. They're not going to go away overnight. And you have to be okay with that. And you have to be compassionate about that. Mm-hmm. So I think when I first started, I would start to beat myself up if I had a tough day. You know, if I woke up and, you know, my jeans didn't fit, and I just started having these thoughts in my mind about, oh, I'm not happy with my mate. I'm not happy with how I look. And then I would get mad at myself. Jess, you need to stop having these thoughts, you know, and I would beat myself up over that. And you just can't do that. I mean, it's part of the process. So I really had to work with being compassionate with myself and more just, okay, you know what, Jess, you're having this thought. It's validated. You're human. You have emotions, and kind of accepting the thought and then working to move past it and change that thought. And a lot of times it's sort of fake it till you make it, you know, like you've got to just start retraining your brain, even if you don't fully believe what you're saying initially. So those things really helped. Meditation has helped me a lot. And I will say, trust me when I say, I am not the type of person that would ever have said that I would be meditating on a regular basis. I'm that type A personality, go, 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 go. But I found the Insight Timer app I love, because you can do literally a minute. So for me, it was like, okay, if I'm feeling like it's more of a chore for whatever reason, I can sit down and do a minute. And I know that's still helping me. It's still helping bring down my stress levels and tune in with who I am. And I'll try to do meditations that are focused on, you know, some of the more self-love things. And they have that in that app, which has been really, really helpful. So those are some of the things that I guess have really helped me just over the last year and a half. And it is still something that I am very much working on. But I've made it part of my daily life is, you know, meditating, walking, breathing. I've also had to very much change my personality. You know, coming from being a super, super high stress person, I put so much pressure on myself all of the time that I had to just kind of accept and realize that the stress I was putting on myself was making me sicker. And I had to change that, you know? So a lot of it again was just really working on changing my thoughts and changing my lifestyle and just healing myself. And I enjoy now too, just having dates with myself, you know, like bringing myself out to dinner or having a night in and watching a movie and essentially kind of dating myself, has been something that I've been doing the last few months. And it sounds silly, but it's been really helpful and it's kind of fun.
Oh my gosh. So not silly. Like this past weekend, like we live in a city where, so it's my boyfriend and I, and then his parents live in the same city and my parents live in the same city. So kind of like if my boyfriend's busy doing something, I'll head over to my parents' place and just kind of hang out with them or whatever. And just this past weekend, everyone was gone and they were all feeling sorry for me. And I was kind of like, yo, you have no idea how excited how I am. Yeah, like I am just super excited to be by myself for a solid like 3 days. So anyways, yes. Yeah, I totally yes. get what you're talking about. And I'm so happy that you brought up, you know, really just changing the way you think and speak to yourself, but also lifestyle things, because mm-hmm. you are like a super, super go, 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 higher stress person. And stress is definitely something that contributed to the adrenal fatigue and your amenorrhea, which mm-hmm. I would like to highlight a little bit more, because I know it's such a important piece of your journey. And I don't believe we've actually talked about amenorrhea on the podcast yet.
Oh, wow.
And I was following along your journey, and I remember the blog post you wrote about when you got your period back. And I was just like freaking out for you, because I was so excited. But I love what you shared about your journey, how, you know, it came back and then it went away and then it came back and went away and now it's back. But it's very interesting that, you know, likely the first time that it went away, it probably had something to do with birth control, but also likely overtraining and under eating. And then it also went away over the breakup. So more like emotional, mental stress. And then again, with the digestive stress, right? So just, I really want to highlight the fact that our hormones are so incredibly delicate, and it can be any type of stress. So if someone is dealing with amenorrhea and thinking, well, I know that I eat like amazing and I know I'm eating enough and I'm not overtraining, still, it might be one of those things, but it could be another source of stress. So share with us a little bit more about that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I wrote a blog post about this too. So, but it's something I'm super passionate about, because again, you know, I went to a gynecologist and she pretty much said, if you don't get your period back, I'm putting you back on birth control. And I said, well, no, you're not. Because at this point I knew that, okay, when, like amenorrhea, like you said, there is some stressor going on that's signaling to your body not to produce the hormones that you need to get your period. So absolutely. I think someone in that, you know, dealing with this, and I know it can be a long process. I said it was the first time it was almost 2 years. So the first thing I want to say is letting people know it can take a while, and that can be super frustrating, but just know that you can fix it naturally 100%. I've done it twice. So please just know that there are ways to do it. But I think the number one thing in that situation is you've got to come to terms with what that stressor is. Again, is it that you're overtraining and maybe you're eating enough, but you're still overtraining and just taxing your body? I mean, our bodies can only handle so much. So I would ask that person to evaluate that, evaluate, you know, your work-life balance, and are you happy at your job? Are you happy in your relationship? There's so, like you said, so many things that can be stressing you out. Maybe it's your thoughts. Maybe you're someone who is dealing with what you and I have gone through, and you're having these just negative thoughts about yourself and your body day in and day out. I mean, that's enough to stress out your body to the point that you might be dealing with amenorrhea. And then also, like you said, you know, do you have a gut problem going on? Are you experiencing some gut health issues? That 100%, you know, the parasite, the bacteria that I had. So I would say for someone doing that, you just kind of be your own detective. And you've got to be your own self-advocate though too, because sadly, a lot of times when you do go to the doctor, they're going to want to throw you back on the birth control pill. So I really ask someone to not do that and, you know, find a doctor that's more open, a functional doctor, or kind of play around with, you know, what's going on in your own life and really try to identify what that stressor might be. Because it's definitely something that can be healed naturally. And the cool thing is, like, I mean, when I got it naturally for the first time, I literally started crying. It was so amazing. And what, you know, it was such a, the word I'm looking for, but, you know, putting in this work and struggling so much and dealing with all these things, it was like, okay, this is, you know what, this is working, you know, as hard as it's been and as much of a struggle and as much as I'm still dealing with a lot of these things, like, it's clearly working. And this is my body kind of saying, thank you, you know, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for working with me. So I truly think that, you know, that would be a huge piece in kind of trying to heal and deal with that.
Yeah. So you did make a lot of changes for sure. You know, you basically eliminated stress or addressed the stress in so many different aspects of your life. But zooming out, do you think there's one thing that probably played the biggest role in allowing you to get your period back?
I think it was probably the training for me. You know, the exercise, just really, really having to come to terms with that this was not working for my body right now. As much as it worked in the past and was something that, you know, exercise obviously isn't a bad thing, but my body needed a break. You know, between the stress of everything else, the exercise I was doing was only adding more stress. And I think that's so important for people to understand that your exercise is going to change depending on what's going on in your life. And we have to be aware of that. And when you're dealing with other stressors, you know, whether it's, again, going through a breakup or, you know, maybe you're working more hours at your job right now and not getting as much sleep as you should, those are times when your exercise should probably be more restorative. You know, if you're trying to run 5 times a week or do CrossFit or spin and your job is super stressful and you're not sleeping and you're going through a breakup and all these, it's just adding to that stress. So I think really tuning into being intuitive with exercise and knowing that that is going to change and look different based on what is going on in your life. And that's been so, so huge for me. Just listening to what my body needs. There are times where I've had more energy and felt better. And so I'll go out and go for a few mile run if I'm feeling good and I want to do it and it's going to bring me joy. And I feel that that's what I need. But if I wake up and I'm exhausted, I'm not going to force myself to go do that. And that has been one of the hardest changes that I've made. But I definitely attribute that as being a huge, huge factor to getting my period back. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amazing. And I know it's going to be different for everyone, but I think it, I just wanted to hear from you and, you know, what you found to be the most important in your journey. So Jess, honestly, I could keep chatting with you forever. I wish we had like another hour to continue talking because honestly, I feel like I haven't chatted with you in a really long time, but you've just been so much fun to have on here with me. But two more questions. Is what does it mean to you to be unbreakable?
Yes, I love this one. For me, I think there are two. First is being authentic, being your authentic self, which is something I've had to figure out what that is and what that looks like. But being able to do that and share that with other people has been so amazing. Because the one thing I want to point out in all of this is none of it is easy. And there are still days where I wake up and I have a bad day. I cry and I look in the mirror and get upset. And I, you know, I mean, I'm human. And I just think we have to share those times, which I really, that's what I really try to do, you know, on my social media pages. And that's such a huge piece of what I want to bring into my business is being open and vulnerable and authentic and sharing with people that it's not all, you know, butterflies and daisies. You know, I think that's so easy to get wrapped up in that, especially in the Instagram world, in the social media world. So that's huge for me is being authentic, and being vulnerable. So being willing to share the good days, but also being willing to share the bad days. And then the other big piece is not being afraid to ask for help. I mean, I have had so much help in this journey, from yourself, from other friends, from practitioners I've found, and gosh, there's not a chance I would be here had I not done that and leaned on people for that. So I think those are my big ones is being your authentic self, being vulnerable and not being afraid to ask for support.
Oh, I love that so much, Jess. And I mean, there's been several people on the show already. Everyone is asked the same question, but no one has said, be okay with asking for help. And I fully agree with you. That's amazing. So thank you. And last one is I know people are going to want to connect with you, read more about your story, and we'll definitely get some of those blog posts linked up in the show notes. But where can we find you?
Absolutely. So Jess Pure Living is my handle for Instagram and my Facebook page. And then Jessica Christin, CHRISTIN.com is my website. And I do a ton of blogging. I try to post recipes and, you know, I post on Instagram pretty much every day. That's probably where I'm most active. And I would love to, connect with your audience. And I mean, like I said, that's my goal is just to help people avoid what I went through and share what I've gone through to help people kind of get through their own struggles and learn from my mistakes, please.
Well, I can tell you, you definitely already help people just by them tuning into our show today. So thank you so much, Jess. And I'll definitely have you back because this was too much fun.
I love to. Thank you, Meg.
Thanks.